Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe, I think I totally forgot to ask you this yesterday, and I don't want to forget today, so I'm going to start off with it.
All right.
As random as it is, kind of, okay? Did you see Aaron Boone get ejected?
I did. Total BS. Holy cow.
He didn't say anything.
No, the fan.
It was amazing.
Did. I thought it was insane. You could hear the conversation.
Yes.
The mics were picking it up. And they're all yelling at the umpire after he throws out Boone. I didn't say anything. It was a fan. It was someone in the crowd. And then
right.
The umpire saying, I don't care. Like, wait, what do you mean
wow.
You don't care? Like, if it's true, and if you have someone to back up that it was a fan, then you just undo the ejection. That I don't know. That was crazy.
Right. It's like I've never seen an ejection rescinded, so you couldn't rescind it, right? I don't think
you
so.
You probably could. Well, why not?
I don't know.
Is someone
going to
get him
question.
In trouble? Like, you could do whatever you want. You're the head umpire. You could let him stay around.
Well, it was Henry Wendelstadt, I think that's how you say his name.
Okay.
The umpire. So, he would have to know that Boone didn't say it. Boone can say all he wants. I didn't say anything.
Right.
But he'd have to know that to rescind it. And he might be thinking Boone's just saying he didn't say anything. But the way Boone reacted about the ump, I'm like, okay, I probably screwed this up, right?
Yeah.
But he was warned. He was warned, like, hey, shut up. Another word out of you. I'm tossing you. It was top of the first inning. And then all of a sudden, literally, he's just standing there. A fan behind Boone says something to the ump, and the ump tosses him, and Boone goes crazy. So it's wild. And then you have these breakdowns. Do you follow John Boy on Twitter at all? Do you know who John Boy is?
I do, but I don't know if I follow him.
Okay, John Boy, J-O-M Boy, John Boy. He's a Yankee fan. He does a lot of Yankee stuff, but really, really creative content creator. But also, one of the things he does a lot of is he reads lips. Not one of these like NFL reading lips where they put funny stuff in.
Right.
He literally breaks down and he's really good at reading lips. When there's a play in baseball and there's an argument, it's amazing watching him. He breaks it all down and says exactly what everybody said to each other. And you're like, holy cow. On this one, you didn't need John Boy. They even said on the broadcast, you don't need a John Boy one for this. There were mics right there. So I thought it was super interesting. I'm showing my wife like, oh my God, you got to see what happened to Aaron Boone. And then I show Max too. I'm like, this is one of those things where he's 10, and it's not like he's never heard bad words, but you also don't want to kind of promote them. And I'm like, okay, I need you to see this, but you need to know, like, there's going to be some swearing in here when he talks to the ump. And it was one of those, I really want him to watch it, but I kind of don't want him to hear it, but you have to hear it to get the full effect of what it is, right? So we were doing that, and so it made it a little bit tricky, but I had to ask you because
yeah,
I thought it was really It was hilarious, actually, to be quite honest. And, I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. It sucked for Aaron Boone to get ejected. He's had a lot of ejections. But that's something mm-hmm. I've never seen. And then rewatching it was kind of funny. It actually, it got me down the rabbit hole. I watched the one again with Terry Collins. You remember that one?
With the Mets? Yes, yes. That's a famous one. Oh, man. So good.
Yes. The way these guys talk to each other when they're out there, it's just, it's amazing.
The best take I saw was that it would a funny Seinfeld bit, if the show ever comes back, which obviously it won't, would be if George was the fan that said something that got the manager ejected. And then the whole episode is based around everyone hating George because he got Aaron Boone ejected in a game.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I that would be pretty cool. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. It's Wednesday. We're a day before the NFL draft. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are loaded today, Joe. We are absolutely packed. We have a lot going on today. And for good reason. I mean, there's so much happening in all of Buffalo sports, including yesterday, of course, the press conference with Lindy Ruff, introducing slash reintroducing him. I thought it was a really good point Chopin the Bulldog made. Like, no one in the Sabres organization, the billboards, the social media posts, the website, no one's saying, welcome back, Lindy Ruff. It's just, welcome, Lindy Ruff. The wording from Kevin Adams to strongly say how much this is not about nostalgia, not about the past. This has been on-point messaging, right? They have made a concerted effort here, the Sabres, to make sure that they are not trying to promote it as we are bringing back Lindy Ruff. They are treating it really kind of like he's a new part of the organization who's never been a part, but we do recognize his history here, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I think Adams almost seemed uncomfortable when both Pegula and Ruff were referencing the past. Now, some of that might have been that both of them, maybe Terry more than Lindy, was taking shots at his ring. You know, that's probably tough, right? It's probably uncomfortable. Where that's the achievement of your hockey life is winning that cup, and everyone in the place you're from and live thinks that you basically stole it from them, which is 06. But so maybe some of it was that. But every time the past came up. Yeah, Adams really, I think, made it seem like he just didn't want that to be a part of the narrative, right? Even when Paul asked him about his time as an assistant coach, it was like, okay, yeah, it helps, but that's not really why we're here. Adams wanted to make that very clear.
Right, and I still believe that obviously Terry Pegula would, you know, he's the owns the team. He has a say in who the coach is going to be. He's going to have final approval. You know, with his relationship with Lindy when he got here, knowing his affinity for Lindy, that I'm quite sure that, you know, he is very much on board and wanted Lindy Ruff. I think that that's where a lot of it is, hey, let's make sure we know. This isn't about that, though, and the messaging has been that. But also, it doesn't have to be bad that that's the case, because I understand that. And Mike said yesterday, and I agree, and I want to steal his thought on this, or I think it was Bulldog. Bulldog said this, and I agree with it. I want to give him credit for recognizing. I want to give the organization credit for recognizing, look, this is going to go over like this with a lot of people. A lot of people are going to think we're doing it just for this reason. We have to be aware of that, and we want to make sure they know that that's not the case. Even if they don't believe us, let's just make sure that we keep saying it, because that's what it feels like to me, that the messaging has been very clear, very on point, and very coordinated, that they are not saying we are welcoming back Lindy Ruff. We are just welcoming Lindy Ruff to the organization, but we all know the history there. The reason I say that we are loaded today, we got a lot to do. We're going to talk about Lindy Ruff. We're going to talk about yesterday's press conference. We're going to have New Jersey Devils reporter Ryan. Let me get his name right here. I want to make sure I say his name right. It is Ryan Novosinski. He writes for the Star Ledger in New Jersey. That's at 11:05. And we'll get more detail on Lindy Ruff and his time in New Jersey, get some insight there. After that, of course, Paul, he was at the press conference yesterday. He's going to kind of recap the things that he heard at that press conference from Lindy Ruff. By the way, I don't know if you heard it, but it was really great for our own Paul Hamilton. Lindy Ruff stepped up and said, the reason I came back, Paul Hamilton, Mike Harrington, I missed those guys. So that was pretty cool part of yesterday's conversation. At 10:30, bottom of the hour, Joe, Ryan Wilson of CBS. He is a colleague of Chris Trabasso at CBS Sports, cbssports.com. Ryan Wilson does fantastic work, and he has his latest mock draft. And I specifically reached out to Ryan to say, can you please come on the radio program with us today? Because Ryan Wilson has something that I think looks like a dream scenario for the Buffalo Bills. He has, in his mock draft, I'll spoil it and tell everybody, that's why we're going to have him on. He has Brian Thomas Jr. falling to 28. I can't see it happening, Joe. But in his mock, it does. So, here's a guy, national guy, not a Bills local person, beat reporter, fan, content creator, intentionally getting you there, right? Because you can do that sometimes with a mock draft. I really want to get this guy there, so how can I make it happen? He's not doing that for the Bills, as far as I know. He's doing what he thinks is going to happen in the draft. And he has Brian Thomas Jr. falling to 28. How realistic is that?
I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's something that I haven't seen other places. It's not normal. I don't see it often at all. But once in a while, I think Mel Kiper had a mock a couple of weeks ago where he had Thomas falling. So again, like, I could probably count on one hand the number of times that it's happened. But it happens sometimes. Some guys go later than you think. Some guys go higher than you think. And Thomas is a raw type of player who only ran a couple of routes in college and had bad numbers in the first 3 years of his career. Not the fourth. He was very good that year. But there's flaws there. So I'm not thinking it's nuts. I still don't think it's likely, though. I think that if Thomas is their guy, that they would be more likely to move up for him, even if you didn't have to. You know, like, Bean is someone that likes, if he likes his guy, and he said this, he said he likes to go to sleep at night with the guy he wanted, that even if Thomas was going to fall to 28, I might still believe that Bean would be willing to eliminate the risk of him going right in front of him by moving up two or three spots. You know what I mean? So, like, he could, I wonder if he could even fall to 28, because if he's Bean's guy, would Bean even let it get past pick 24, 25 right, without going up a couple spots?
Agreed.
And just, let me just ensure that this is going to happen.
I agree with that. I think, yeah, Bean himself kind of has control over this, if that's the case, right? Which is, well, he's not going to get to 28 because I'm going to make sure he doesn't get to 28 if you're Brandon Bean. Like, I got to go up and get him, because the longer you wait, the more chance there is for another team to go up and get him. And I think, you know, I don't know this for sure, but I think we have enough evidence that suggests that maybe that's what happened a couple of years ago with Kyrie Elam. That they really liked the corner from the Kansas City Chiefs they drafted. I'm sorry. Who's the corner they drafted in that draft? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie, thank you.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of evidence here, and nobody's ever confirmed this. I don't have it confirmed, but I'm pretty sure this is the case as well. The Bills really like Trent McDuffie. But the longer Bean waited, what happened was the Chiefs got Trent McDuffie. So he's off the board. Now you take Kyrie Elam. And we all know how this has turned out so far. Trent McDuffie has become a really good player. Kyrie Elam can hardly get on the field for the Buffalo Bills. I look at that. I think about that. I also think about the year that Jalen Phillips was drafted. And I do think the Bills like Jalen Phillips. Now, it is a different scenario. I don't think they really had an appetite to trade to get as high as that might take to get Jalen Phillips. But it would have been nice. And the longer they waited, there's Jalen Phillips off the board to another rival, in this case, the Miami Dolphins. So the Bills take Greg Rousseau. They're perfectly happy with taking Greg Rousseau. This is part of the reason, Joe, what you just said is right. That I think this year, Brandon Bean thinks about that and says, I'm not going to risk the guy I really like getting to somebody else. I got to make the move. I got to be aggressive. And I think that's why he drafted for Dalton Kincaid last year. Dalton Kincaid last year. The talk was, he's going to Dallas. Like, Dalton Kincaid is going to Dallas. I think we all kind of know that was going to happen. So you know what Beans did? He said, I'm not letting that happen. I got a trade scenario here. I can move down,
right,
get capital that I really like. He said it, but I can't let that happen. That's my guy. I'm going to get him. That is exactly how I think this has to play out. If he's going to think about getting a guy. He's got to have a guy, though, right? It can't be, right, I want to go to 20 to see who's there. It's, I got to have a guy to make this happen.
Well, and he can't have more than a couple guys, right? Like, if he thinks there's no difference between, or not a big difference between Brian Thomas, Xavier Legette, and Adonai Mitchell. He likes them all. The body types are all similar. The skill sets are all similar. They've checked all the boxes with their characters and their meeting rooms, and they might prefer one over the other, but it's not really a big difference to them. And if they look at all three of them and think, well, we're four picks away, you know, and we are good with one of the three, then they don't move. And then maybe that's how you get Brian Thomas at 28, is if they think that highly of other players. But it's also very possible, you can see a lot of draft analysis this way, that, well, Leggett's older, and he never did it against guys that he wasn't 3 years older than. So if the Bills think that's a red flag and have him marked a little bit lower, then you could drop him from where Brian Thomas is. And if Adonai Mitchell has big character questions, which has been a thing about him all offseason that the Bills don't like, then maybe he's not even on their board, let alone someone that they might mark lower. And if those two guys don't compare to a Brian Thomas, then that to me is when they move up. That to me is, this guy fits, this guy doesn't have the red flags that the others do, and we are going to go get him. So I think there is it's you play the draft, right? You play the board, you make the board work for you, and Bean is someone that has very often done that. And I would not be surprised at all. In fact, right now, I would predict it's their most likely outcome, is that they will do some form of trade-up, or they at least will try to, and go get Brian Thomas.
I agree with that. I think it's at least a trade-up, and that would be the most likely target. I'm not completely dismissive of the notion that they could trade all the way up to get Roma Dunze. I do think it's hard, of course. It's really hard, and I don't know if he'll be able to do it. I am not, like I said, dismissing him thinking about it, trying to do it, seeing what the cost is. I think that would be the dream scenario for the Bills, the player at least, the Roma Dunze. Another, another mock draft is out from the 33rd team. Do you follow the 33rd team?
Yes.
It's a really good website where they have like a lot of former GMs and front office people. There's a mock draft from one of their writers at the 33rd team. I'll get the name here if I can. And it's interesting because the first thing you do is you scroll to the Bills. They have the Bills taking Adonai Mitchell. I'm like, okay, well, who's on the board? What's interesting about this draft for me is Adunze's off, obviously. Brian Thomas then goes to the Colts at 17. And then Xavier Worthy's actually taken already off the board before it gets to the Bills. So now you're talking about, okay, who do you go with if four guys are off the board and they have Xavier Worthy? So Xavier Worthy is the player that I have the Bills taking in my mock draft. Now, full disclosure, just so everybody knows, I do think the Bills would like to trade up, and I do think it's more likely. But in my mock, I don't have them trading because I don't do a mock with trades. I just think it's too hard to really figure that out. I mean, we could talk about all the scenarios. What I like to do for my mock is just keep everything straight, 32 picks, and then say, okay, most teams are going to pick where they're slotted anyway, so let's see how we do here. But I do think the Bills will try to trade up. But if they are in that situation where they're sitting there at 28, they can't find a trade partner, I have them taking Xavier Worthy. I'd like to hear what people think about that. 803-0550. If you want to give us a call, 803-0550 here on the Extra Point Show. By the way, it's the 33rd team. It's Ian Valentino is the person who wrote this. Okay, Joe. If they're there, all four are gone. We're talking about the top two guys, Adunze and Brian Thomas.
Yep.
I have Worthy. I explain why. Ball in his hands, rack. We've heard this all year. Explosive plays. 4-2-1, 40-yard dash. What do you think? Is that the guy? If that was the guy, how would you feel about that as the next guy and the Bills saying, we're doing that at 28?
I could definitely be sold on it. I could definitely be talked into it as a very good idea, in that you pointed out, right, the explosive play comment from McDermott, how they were lacking last year down the field, and what some of their other skill sets are, which Samuel, Shakir, Kincaid, Cook, it's a lot more of the middle of the field stuff. And I think a field stretcher is someone that they're definitely missing. And the fact that he runs the fastest 40 time we've ever seen, you know, it shouldn't be thought of as crazy that team that's talked that way and was missing that component would be chasing that. The thing that I think I would need to be sold on, and this would maybe be a Joe Brady question, is how are you going to make it all work? Because he might have that extra element of the nine routes, the down the field element when he lines up on the outside, but a lot of the other stuff that he did at Texas was Curtis Samuel stuff. They would use him in creative ways. They would bring him in motion, give it to him on a reverse, screen passes. He would play out of the slot doing a lot of that, and I think that there's some overlap there, which is fine, right? Because even though those plays might be overlapping, I think they are very different players. They might both have that yak ability, but Worthy is not going to break a tackle, maybe ever, right? He's going to try to run around you. He's going to just use his sheer speed. Samuel has speed too, but he can also run through. He's built like a running back and can shed off tacklers that way. So that would be my question. How are you going to make it all work? Because Worthy, he's not a Diggs replacement, and he's not a Gabe Davis replacement. So it's another different type of player that you would be incorporating in your offense, which, again, I think can be a good thing, but it would be so new for me that I would just... It would be one of those where I feel like I'd really want to see it in action before I knew that, okay, yeah, this is going to work.
I have Xavier Worthy to the Bills at 28. What do you think about that, Bills fans? 803-0550. We can get connected with you. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. You can also tweet us at Sal Sports, at Sneaky Joe Sports. I've had pretty positive feedback on Worthy from fans. There have been detractors, of course, and the number one reason is his size.
Yep.
He's 165 pounds. Like, how are you going to really have him as a high-volume guy? Well, I totally respect that point. Like, I think it is a fair point. But I think we're living in a different age in the NFL. Right, I mean, you're not taking such a beating at that position like you used to because of a lot of the rules. Also, he has been a high volume guy at Texas. Go look at his numbers.
Yeah.
He touches the ball a lot in a lot of different ways, and he doesn't have to be on the field all the time. You have other. I think the way Joe Brady's going to operate, to your point earlier, is to have all these different options, all these different ways. And the thing that really gets me over the edge on him is, he's a punt returner. He might be the best punt returner in all of college football. And right now, the Bills don't have a true, legit punt return threat on their roster. They have punt catchers, guys who can do it, guys who you're okay with. Khalil Shakir could be back there. They don't have that kind of guy, though.
Yeah. The weight is a good question. You point out like how the league has changed. The guy that I'm thinking about a little bit for this that has been a high-volume target as a very small player is Tyler Lockett. Lockett is about 10 pounds bigger than Worthy, but I don't know what he came into the league at listed at. Lockett's 10 pounds bigger at age 32. What was Lockett at 23? I don't know. I could look. But what?
Do you know who I thought you were going to say?
Who?
Devontae Smith. He's five pounds heavier.
Yeah, he's very light. And
he had 81 catches last year, 95 the year before that.
Right, and the targets are over 100 for him. That's what I was looking for, because Lockett has been over 100 targets 5 years in a row, playing at a smaller size. Both of those guys, Lockett even more so, these are guys that do not take big hits, right? Lockett will slide sometimes. Smith, I've never seen do that, but I know he doesn't take big hits. So there are ways around... You know, can you be a high volume target and that? I might think the bigger question about can he be like a true number one day is the full route tree, and can you play out on the X position? Press coverage is a bit of a question for Worthy that I think Smith at least doesn't have. Lockett might. So I think there are question marks about his ability as a number one. But he's so fast that, you know, like what's the floor? The floor, I mean, there are speed guys that don't work, but it does feel like he's a guy where even if it doesn't work to the exact degree that you'd like it to, he's going to be someone that makes an impact for you. It's almost hard to not make an impact with that level of speed, even if it's as a gadget guy, even if it's as a secondary pass catcher and just not the focal point. So to me, there is some safety. It's not total boom or bust for Worthy if he doesn't become your number one. I will say, though, on Worthy, I would bet right now he's not going to be there. I mean, he's there in a lot of mocks. This mock that you mentioned from the 33rd team, he goes at 17. And if there was a draft prop that I would want right now, if I could bet it, but you can't in New York State, it would be Worthy to go higher than what his over-under is. Because every
year... What if the Bills traded up to get him?
That's possible, too. Right, they could be that team. He went, what, 17th in this mock? Could the Bills trade to the late teens and draft Worthy? Like, I wouldn't be floored by that. Mm. I just think every year there is a guy that goes a lot higher than we all think he does. And at the receiver position, very often that's the guy with the elite speed. All it takes is one. 31 teams could all agree that Xavier Worthy's a late first, early second round pick. But all it takes is that one owner or one general manager that goes, Yeah, but you know, this is the fastest player we've ever seen in the NFL draft. I'm going to take him at 12. Like, it only takes one guy to do that.
You know, one of the things that has been tweeted at me after this is, well, don't fall in love with the fast guy. Look at all the fast guys who bust out, like John Ross. And I get that. I mean, that's what we've seen a lot in the NFL. Guy's really fast. We're going to draft him. But this guy's a little different to me. He has production. He's been a high-volume guy. He can play wide receiver. He does have a little bit of inconsistency with drops, and that does scare me, no doubt about it. So I don't want to just focus on Worthy. I don't think necessarily it has to be him. But sure, there are anybody you pick. I mean, I've had people pick apart Brian Thomas to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Ross, by the way, can I just throw something out on him? Because I do hear that comparison a lot. I'm going to trust Joe Goodberry on this, who we've had in the station a lot, covered the Bengals for a long time, lives locally. I've heard Joe Goodberry multiple times defend Ross as a bust, as he just had total injury problems. Like, he was not going to be a bad player. Maybe not worth a top 10 pick. I think he had 1 year, I think his 19 season, I'm pulling up his stats now. Yeah, his 2019 season, he only played 8 games. He was on pace for 112 targets, 56 catches, 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Like, he was going to have that year, and he got injured again. Like, even that guy, maybe it would have been different had he just not been injured. And, like, Ruggs, I know, had the, of course, he's in jail right now. That's a whole totally different situation. So you can't really indict his career on the field. It's just Darius Heyward-Bey. That one was a bust. That guy was a bust. That was, like, 18 years ago now. So I don't want to just declare that all the fast guys are always busts. I think there are different situations that have really played into why they haven't hit.
Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports has Brian Thomas Jr. falling all the way down to the Bills at 28, and the Bills snatch him up right there. We'll get with Ryan when we come back. We'll hear his thoughts, his mock draft at CBSSports.com, and what else could be an option for the Bills. We'll do that when we come back here. Thanks for being with us. It's one day before the NFL draft on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ryan Thomas Jr. We will get Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports in just a few moments, and then he will tell us how he has Brian Thomas Jr. falling all the way down to 28. That would be a really great scenario for the Bills. I agree with you, Dio. I just don't know if they could do that. Now, the other scenario, we've talked about trade up. There's a report they're trying to trade up. Walter Football was on that. Trading down too is a scenario where I thought I saw Seth Walder talk about this. I'm fine if they want to trade down and grab a Xavier Leggett, a Ladd McConkey, and a Ricky Pearsall. There are a lot of options, right? That's what I love about this type of really kind of good conundrum, I guess, because you almost can't go wrong if you grab one of these guys. Mm-hmm. And the question is how you do it with the value. This is about value now.
Yep. The value, too, like I saw that from Seth Walder, like it would be optimal. Move down to 35. Look at Legette could still be there, and it has a good chance of still being there. I do not mind trading down. I mind trading down if I don't get a third round pick. What do I need another day three pick for?
Right.
I've already got nine of them. I already have questions of whether 10 rookies are going to make the active roster. If I add a fourth, I don't know. I feel like I've already got multiple fourths. I've got multiple fifths. I don't see the need for it unless it's a third. If you get a third, which you don't have, then I do think that would sound like a good idea.
Joining us now on the Wester Hotline, Ryan Wilson of CBS and CBSSports.com. He has a mock draft up, which I think is a dream scenario for the Bills, and that is for Brian Thomas Jr. to fall all the way down to 28, and the Bills grab him right there. Good morning, Ryan. It's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. I'm right down the street, by the way. I'm in Connecticut now for work, but I live in Syracuse, so I'll wave at you
love
guys
it.
Next time I drive by.
Nice.
I love it. Well, maybe finally, Ryan, over the next few years, we can talk about some Syracuse prospects in the draft again. It's been a little while since we've been able to do that.
Fingers crossed.
But I really like what Coach Brown is doing and some of the talent he's bringing in. In the meantime, all right, so you know these exercises, these mock drafts, you know, you do your mock draft, I do one. Sometimes, especially locally, you can kind of get yourself to a guy you want to get to, right? You're not doing that here. You're trying to do the best you can for you know, every team and their pick. And yet you have Brian Thomas Jr. down at 28. We're debating how likely that could be, but I guess it is likely. Tell us a little bit about your thought process for him to actually be available at 28 for the Bills.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised too. This was what I would do if I were making the picks for all 32 selections in the first round. And by the time I got to 28, I was surprised to see Brian Thomas Jr. still there. But he just fell because they're going to be needs a quarterback. The top three wide receivers are going to go probably top 10 to 12. And then you start to get that run on the defensive side of the ball, the edge rushers, Byron Murphy, and maybe even Johnny Newton slipping their defensive tackle. And then all the cornerbacks. And then by the time you get to 25, 26, 27, those teams, if Arizona already has their wide receiver four, they're not a team to worry about at 27. And there is Brian Thomas Jr. sitting right there. And the interesting thing about Brian Thomas Jr., I'm sure you guys have talked about him a lot, is that right now he's a vertical threat. He's, you know, ran with 4.3s. He's an enormous target. He's more dynamic than Gabe Davis was when he was in Buffalo. And he has huge amounts of upside with the athleticism, just oozing potential. He doesn't run a lot of short and intermediate routes. And, you know, that's something obviously he can get better at. But I think right away he comes in as just a home run threat, whether it's deep balls with Josh Allen or red zone capability. Is he going to be there at 28? It feels like a stretch because, again, this is what I would do. But the other thing is the wide receivers last year didn't start going off the board till 20, and then they went four in a row. Now, this class is much deeper at the top than last year's class. But if I had to put odds on this or percentage chance, I think Brian Thomas is there. It's probably less than 40%, but, you know, there's still an opportunity for that to actually happen. But it does feel like sort of a long shot given how – there are some needs above that. Perhaps the Jets, for example, instead of taking Brock Bowers, maybe they go with a wide receiver. But so a couple things have to fall into place for Buffalo, and you know, perhaps there's a chance of Brian Thomas Jr. sitting there.
Does him falling maybe also have to have one of the other top receivers go higher than expected? Whether that's Mitchell or I think Worthy's being mocked more and more higher because I just said this, Ryan, last segment that. All it takes is one GM to fall in love with a guy who broke the combine record, and suddenly he's going 10 picks higher than we all thought.
Yeah, when I talk to teams, they like Xavier Worthy a little more than media folks do, and by that I mean he's probably going to crack the first round. And to your point, a 4-2-1, that gets your attention. And you talk about John Ross previously having the record. He's a completely different player, Xavier Worthy is, than John Ross. He's for 165, he is incredibly tough. He can bounce off tackles. He can actually run through arm tackles. He had some focus drops last year, but those aren't concerning for me. I think he can be special. And again, when you're causing this sort of havoc, wreaking this sort of havoc in the secondary with that blinding speed that Xavier Worthy brings, that makes an offense like Buffalo that much more dynamic. And, you know, you can say, well, maybe he's not worth the first round pick. And then I always come back, well, let's see what he looks like on the 49ers. Or on the Chiefs, and let's come back and revisit that conversation because, you know, like we talk about the quarterback, fit matters. And what Xavier Worthy possesses, very few people, and no one in the history of the NFL Combine possessed that sort of speed. And yes, he's undersized, but I think, like I said, he plays like he's 20, 25 pounds heavier than what we saw when he stepped on the scale and was 165.
Ryan, he's the guy I have in my mock going to the Bills, Xavier Worthy, that is, at 28, because I keep having this voice, these voices in the back of my head whenever I do this, of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott continually talking about explosive plays and rack all offseason. That's what they talked about. We need explosive plays. We need rack. And Sean McDermott talking about how defenses have changed to, yeah, if you can beat them over the top, great. But you know what? Get the ball to your playmakers because they're allowing you to do that underneath. And look, and the guy's also a punt returner, one of the best in college football. They need something like that. All right, but let's say it's not Worthy. Give me another guy, a receiver, who would fit the mold of, you know what? You can get explosive plays from this guy, good with the ball in his hands. Maybe you don't have to take him at 28, but he would fit the Bills' offense from that standpoint.
Yeah, so A.D. Mitchell is going to be, I'm sure you guys talk about him a lot as well. Xavier's teammate out of Texas. He's physically, he looks a lot like Brian Thomas Jr. I think he's a little more dynamic as a route runner right now. And he's also a 4-3 guy. I think it feels like all these guys are 4-3 guys at this point.
Yeah.
Huge target, and you know he can make plays down the field, contested catch situations, but he can run those short and intermediate routes with a little more wiggle than Brian Thomas Jr. currently does just because he wasn't asked to do it a lot. And the other name that I keep coming back to, and it's funny you mentioned Xavier Worthy as just speed kills, I love Ladd McConkey. He is the best route runner in this class. I was talking to wide receivers coach the other day about how good he is in small areas and how he can create separation. Just again, you can line him up against anyone, and he's going to find ways to get open. It doesn't matter the route he's running. The issue is that he's under 6 feet. He's 189, so he weighed at the combine. And he has an injury history. And the questions around the league, whether he's a slot-only guy, I don't think he is. I've seen him on the outside stack defensive backs in the SEC consistently at find ways to get open on vertical routes. And you talk about runaway speed. You throw these sort of runaway routes, whether it's overs or deep posts or whatever, and then he gets underneath it, and that's a wrap. You're not going to catch him. And I think in that offense in Buffalo with someone like Josh Allen, able to get him the ball from all sorts of arm angles and various points in the play, whether it breaks down or whether it's on time, it just feels like he's going to hit the ground running. Because with the Brian Thomas Jr., you're helping him grow into what it means to be an NFL wide receiver and do all the things that NFL wide receivers need to do. With Ladd McConkey, you're just saying, go out there and do what you did in Georgia, and we should be in pretty good shape.
Is Diggs a good comparison for him, for McConkey? Like, maybe even not, doesn't have to be as good as Diggs, but I don't know, just the way, the route tree stuff and getting open, and when Diggs was younger especially, he had more vertical speed. Like, is that close for a good comparison?
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think Diggs maybe ran through fewer arm tackles. My comp for Ladd when I was watching him in the fall, Emmanuel Sanders kept coming to mind, and I think Stephon's probably a little bit bigger than Emmanuel, and probably Ladd too, but they're close. And I think if you're getting that sort of dynamism, and I think that's what Ladd brings after moving on from Stephon Diggs, it's not going to be an upgrade over Stephon Diggs because we know who Stephon Diggs is, even if his game isn't what it once was 2 or 3 years ago or whatever. But I think Ladd has a chance to step right in. Like I said, you talk about the 49ers offense, the Chiefs offense, the Bills offense is right there too. You put someone in that offense and suddenly things start to click. And, we talk about this with Josh when Stephon first arrived, and you can talk about with Tua and Tyreek or Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. When you get a big play wide receiver, it helps your franchise quarterback elevate his game as well. Everything's not on him. So in terms of ready to play right now, Ladd is my favorite, unless, somehow Marvin Harrison Jr. falls to 28. But the other guys, you're banking on the productivity and the size and the speed and all the things that, made your heart stop when you watched them last fall in college.
Ryan Wilson, by the way, CBS Sports, joining us on the Wester Hotline. There's been a lot of smoke about the Bills maybe looking to trade up, and I do think that that's very possible. In fact, I think it's most likely scenario that they actually trade up. Brandon Bean has a history of it. 4 out of the last 6 drafts, he's traded up to get his guy, including last year with Dalton Kincaid. All right, the dream guy would be Rome Odunze. That would take a Julio Jones type of trade, as we know, from 2011 when they moved up to get Julio. But what is the lowest he would go? Like, from what you're hearing, talking with teams, how much could he possibly fall where the Bills finally say, we got to do it and strike? What's the floor for him?
If he gets outside of the top 10, I'll be pretty surprised. I've heard the Jets are leaning offensive tackle as we sit here right now, so maybe they're not going to be in on the Roma Dudes. They brought Bowers thing. But I think a team at eight, the Falcons could trade out of eight, and the team could come up and get Rome there. The Bears are going to consider Rome. I know they're thinking either defense or perhaps a wide receiver there after they take Caleb. So if he gets to nine and the Bears don't take him, then I think you need to fire up the trade machine, because I wouldn't feel comfortable waiting too much longer, because by that point I would imagine the Vikings will be gone out of 11 to move up for their quarterback. The same could be the case with the Denver Broncos. And then you're starting to play with fire if you're thinking 14, 15, 16, because I think a team either just in front of or maybe just behind the Bills might think about having those same conversations with Rome Odunze. So it feels like 8, 9, 10 is the sweet spot, and that's where you might want to make your move.
Ryan, you got anything else on the Bills before we do anything on the rest of the draft and ask Ryan a couple questions?
If they were to trade down to round two, Ryan, like, is there, let's assume, like, your mock had Thomas gone, of course, by round one, McConkie and Mitchell. Coleman, I think you had early in round two. The Colemans, the Legettes, like, what do you like for them if they were to move down, try to get a third round pick, say, like, 10, 15 spots in the second round? Like, do you still like what would be available to them at receiver?
Yeah, and you mentioned Keon Coleman. I don't know if he goes as high as 33. He ran that 4.61 at the combine, but he plays a lot faster than that. And I was talking to some folks in the league about him, and they said, number one, he just turned 21, like maybe a month ago. Number two, he's a basketball player, hasn't played a lot of football. Number three, if you go back and watch the Michigan State tape before he transferred to Florida State, he runs NFL-style routes there. He wasn't asked to do that at Florida State. And in watching those, you see that he has the ability to get open, create separation, which was a concern with him because he's a huge target. And I think he provides some of that Gabe Davis-like playmaking ability. I don't think he's a number one, at least right away, but he's an option there. Ricky Pearsall is getting a late push here, but he's a really good route runner. He ran 4.41. I didn't think he played quite that fast, but he has the ability to get open on the short intermediate routes and have these runaway routes. And then someone like Roman Wilson, perhaps he's too close to Khalil Shakir, but he's a slot guy who plays bigger than his 5'10 frame. And then if the ball's in his hands, it's over. Like, you're not going to catch him. Those are some options there. I think Xavier Legette, the concern when you talk to teams about Luke Xavier is that he's a one-year productivity guy, so you want to make sure he can do it. I remember a couple of years ago, Jalin Hyatt, maybe it was even last year, Jalin Hyatt came out of Tennessee after that big year for Tennessee and didn't quite do as much as perhaps the Giants were hoping. Doesn't mean he won't, but just something to keep in mind when you talk about taking these guys top 30, top 40. But I think Xavier Legette, his size, his speed, his playmaking ability is certainly attractive, especially if you're talking round two instead of round one.
All right, Ryan, it looks like and feels like it's going to be Williams, then Daniels, the top two guys, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels at quarterback. Your mock reflects that. What happens after that? What are you comfortable kind of going with, if anything at all? How many different scenarios are there from Drake May at number three to somebody coming up and the Patriots moving down, number five, the Vikings? Like, what starts to happen at quarterback after that, do you think?
I'm very uncomfortable after the first two picks in terms of trying to predict what's going to happen. I think that the Vikings are going to make a real move to try to get the three, because I think they like Drake better than J.J. McCarthy. And then if they get three, are the Patriots just punting on quarterbacks this year? Are they going to try to stockpile picks and rebuild the roster and revisit quarterback later? And then at four, I think there's an opportunity for another team to trade up, whether it's Denver or some other team, to come up and get J.J. McCarthy. So we could have a situation where four quarterbacks are the first four picks. And it's incredibly exciting now, but then you think back a few years, you know, Mac Jones is now in Jacksonville. Zach Wilson's just been traded to Denver. So it's hope springs eternal, but the reality is that these guys probably half of them will maybe work out. And then after that, we'll see. I think there may be a lull as other players get picked. And then I think Michael Penix Jr. is going to get drafted in the first round. He's just too good not to. I've talked to teams that think he's a second-round pick, and, you know, the qualifier is that's great value. And I'm like, well, that's great value. Just take him in the first round, because we know what he can do pushing the ball down the field. But maybe he's a middle to bottom of the first half quarterback. And then the question becomes, who's looking at him? Is that a situation where the Patriots are interested in taking him in the middle of the first round? Or maybe a sleeper team? I've heard the Seahawks have been sniffing around Michael Penix Jr., who's offensive staff, part of it, is in Seattle now from Washington. So this is going to be a fun draft because there's so many unknowns and there's so many good players, where in years past we've had a handful of good players and a lot of questions, where it feels like there's a ton of guys here that could help these teams right away.
I have the Broncos and Raiders at 12 and 13, one or the other, Ryan, going Penix and Nix. I just don't know which one. It would feel like Penix would be first, but I feel like both those teams might really want a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Jane Daniels wants to play in Vegas, from what I've heard and what's been reported. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't think that's feasible just in terms of the lack of draft capital to move up. I don't know if Bo Nix is going to find his way into the first round. I've heard mostly second, third round grades when I've talked to teams about him. But, you know, we just talked about it. It only takes one. If you're talking to Xavier Worthy or Bo Nix, do you have a chance to get drafted in the first round if the team really likes you? And I do wonder what Vegas does if they don't get a quarterback, right? Because now you're in a division where if Denver gets J.J. McCarthy, all the other teams in that division have either franchise quarterbacks or a rookie first-rounder that they like a lot, and you have Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, and it's sort of hard to compete like that. So they have to figure that out as well, because maybe that informs their decision to how much they want to give up. But they really love Jaden Daniels, but I don't know on what planet they're going from 13 to 2, because from what I understand, Washington is all in on Jaden.
All right, Ryan. Awesome stuff. We really appreciate it. I think Bills fans would be very, very happy if your mock draft came to fruition. CBS Sports, you can follow him on Twitter, at RyanWilsonCBS. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Ryan Wilson right there from, as he said, just down the street. Is Syracuse just down the street, Joe?
Yeah.
When he said just down the street, I thought maybe he was talking like the Elmwood Village.
I was also expecting that, but that's fine. That's fine. It's down the street, just a couple hours.
One street, right? The 90. All right, yeah. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. When we come back, after a brief timeout after that, we're going to have Ryan Novosinski. He covers the New Jersey Devils for the Star-Ledger, New Jersey. We'll talk about Lindy Ruff, yesterday's press conference. Paul Hamilton joins us at 11:30. Still got a little bit to get to here, though, in the first hour in the Extra Point Show.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, you remember those days where you had those half days of school? My son has a half day of school today because of parent-teacher conferences.
Yep. I never knew what they were for. So. Yeah, it was always parent-teacher conference. Right.
That's pretty much
it. Or staff day, something like that for teachers, right?
And then, yeah, that's tomorrow. Like, literally, like, you know, yeah, hey, when I was a kid, I pretended to be sick to watch the NFL draft. My son doesn't even need that. They're actually off tomorrow.
Nice. Perfect. Maybe they did it on purpose.
Maybe. Who knows? It should be the next day be off, though. The Bills, if they pick at 28, we're talking the 11 p.m. hour is when the pick will probably come into play. So we'll have full draft coverage for you. Of course, we're doing it all week, but you know, when the draft starts, we'll be on top of it. And I'll be down at the stadium chiming in. Who's that? Nate, right? Nate and Derek and
Zach will be involved. Yeah.
Zach. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we're going to have full coverage for you right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The NFL draft tomorrow night, round one begins Friday night, rounds two and three all day Saturday. It will be a long weekend and a fun weekend for Bills fans to see who is added to the 2024 Buffalo Bills roster. In the meantime, yesterday, Lindy Ruff introduced and reintroduced as the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Ryan Novosinski has covered Lindy Ruff. We know a lot about Lindy, of course. Well, we really don't know a lot about him the last few years when he was in New Jersey, ultimately fired by the New Jersey Devils earlier this year. Well, Ryan's covered him for the Star-Ledger, so we'll get with him after this timeout. Ryan Novosinski, and then we'll have Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour recapping yesterday's press conference. A lot going on here in Buffalo with Lindy Ruff, the NFL draft. We're going to have Ryan Novosinski talk about Lindy Ruff from the New Jersey angle after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.